Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 331, titled Connecting the Dots, Part 5, subtitled Walkin' the Snake. That is a reference to the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk that I've accessed so many times. This is another broadcast dealing with the momentous and horrible events of September 11th of 2001, and as I stressed in the first side, due to the scope of the event and the limitations of time, much of the ancillary discussion that would help to tie together some of these dots more securely for newer or more occasional listeners simply will not be possible given the limitations of time. Let me refer interested listeners, first of all, to the CD and tape duplication service Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005, email mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. There's also a website for Spitfire, www.spitfirelist.com, that's equipped with real audio. There are also descriptions of the various programs available. For the last year plus, they have been annotated. Also note that sister station WFMU-FM, the heroic WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, has been compiling the For the Record programs on real audio for some time. More recent programs are streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y, and older programs are available for download only on another URL that has links to both the first WFMU URL and also the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. So in some of my discussion about Serpent's Walk, German corporate control over the American media, the Bormann Organization, the Underground Reich, and many of the things that I'm talking about, I can appreciate that that is not only complex but puzzling to newer listeners. I reference other programs in on this subject and other broadcasts available from Spitfire and or streaming or available for download from WFMU. We've been talking about some of the German links to the events of September 11th. That's something I've spoken about in the For the Record programs 326 and 327. And also in other broadcasts, talking about the Islamo-fascist connections. Once again, about some of the German links to the events of September 11th, reviewing an article that we excerpted in Side 1, Financial Times of London, Tuesday, October 9th of 2001, article by Hugh Williamson in Berlin. Berlin demands boost in terror probe. And skipping down, speaking of German prosecutor K. Name. In addition, Mr. Name's office has been accused of ignoring evidence gathered by the police before the attacks, which suggested that Islamic terrorists were operating in Germany. Mr. Name's spokeswoman has previously said the evidence provided earlier by the police had not been sufficient to start an investigation. Also talks about an alleged connection in Bosnia-Herzegovina, currently presided over or recently presided over by Alija Izet Begovic, a member of a Bosnian Muslim Waffen-SS division, the 13th Waffen-SS or Hanjar division. He then renamed and restructured his personal bodyguard and the bodyguard of the Bosnian Muslim leadership, called the Hanjar Division. That is patterned after the 13th Waffen-SS Division of his youth, led by Pakistani and Afghan war veterans. And Bosnia-Herzegovina, again, a reported hotbed of al-Qaeda activity. Now, we're going to be taking a look not only at how this particular incident has affected German foreign policy, but we're also going to take a look at an unnerving German national security role in helping to protect the United States, all the more ominous in light of allegations now surfacing in Germany that the Germans were less than vigorous in pursuing leads on this event, as I would say, by the way, is what I believe is a fifth column within U.S. intelligence also associated with the Underground Reich. We're going to turn once again to the Financial Times of Friday, October 12th of 2001. This is an article by Haig Simonian in Berlin. It's headlined, Germany Ready for More Senior Role in World Affairs. It reads in part, Germany's Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder said yesterday the attacks on the U.S. last month had prompted a turning point in Berlin's foreign policy with its role as a secondary player, unquote, in international affairs now over. Speaking in a parliamentary debate on the Afghan crisis, Mr. Schroeder pushed home the message that Germany had to demonstrate its readiness to accept the greater international responsibilities implicit in the restoration of full sovereignty after reunification and the end of the Cold War. So Germany no longer a secondary player in the wake of the events of September 11th. That according to Gerhard Schroeder. Now, again, in some of my discussions on the Underground Reich and also talking about the German links to the events of September 11th, consider the following, and consider this also in connection with the Serpent's Walk scenario that I've advanced so often. This also is from the Financial Times. This is from the Financial Times of weekend edition of October 13th and 14th of 2001. This also was an article by Haig Simonian, and it's in Berlin. It's headlined, Berlin Flexes Its Muscles, subtitled, Germans Are Increasingly Comfortable with a World Military Role. Listen to among the places where German airmen are going to be playing that world military role. Skipping down. Already, German airmen, who comprise about one-third of those on active duty on board NATO AWACS airborne reconnaissance aircraft, are switching from patrolling European airspace to doing the same in the United States. This relieves American servicemen for other tasks. So Luftwaffe personnel are now going to be conducting electronic surveillance and airborne reconnaissance on the United States in order to prevent, ostensibly at least, attacks on the United States. Don't be too surprised, says Dave, if a few hijacked airplanes or something else will manage to get through the Luftwaffe electronic protection net around the United States. Bear in mind the German intelligence assault on the Echelon network that I've talked about in the past. Also, the directive from the Bush administration going to various intelligence services that they no longer engage in turf squabbles. That would be admirable under most circumstances, but in light of what I believe is an Underground Reich / Bormann organization fifth column in the United States, that may prove absolutely fatal. Bear in mind that there are evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of many key terrorist incidents running through Germany. In addition to Pan Am 103, the funding for the first attack on the World Trade Center came from Germany. And bear in mind that, as we looked at in For the Record program number 330, there is a hard evidentiary link between some of the Philippines Al-Qaeda connections and the Oklahoma City bombing. Bear in mind that Carol Howe, an ATF informant who passed a polygraph examination, stated that the mastermind of the World Trade Center bombing was Andreas Strassmeier, a former German military officer with intelligence training, who was the security director for the white supremacist compound at Elohim City. According to Carol Howe, Timothy McVeigh was his protege. We've looked in the past at the fact that Andreas Strassmeier, who had a German government security clearance and was present at the German reunification ceremonies, was the son of Gunter Strassmeier, Helmut Kohl's chief of staff and the architect of German reunification. Andreas's grandfather was one of the charter members of the Nazi Party in Germany under Hitler, first name Adolf. In addition to Gunter Strassmeier, who was the architect of German reunification for Helmut Kohl's CDU, the State Department for the elder George Bush was led in the efforts for German reunification, as we looked at in For the Record program number 273, B as in Bush, B as in Bormann. That program, by the way, streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emery. The elder Bush State Department official who was in charge of German reunification, thereby inevitably acting in very close coordination with Gunter Strassmeier, was a fellow named Robert Zoellick, Zoellick, who, as we looked at in For the Record program number 186 and in For the Record 278, is associated with the German Marshall Fund of the United States and thereby inevitably hooked up with the Bormann organization that I've spoken about so many times in the past. Let's take a look at what Robert Zoellick, who again worked with Gunter Strassmeier, Andreas's father. Andreas belonged to the same German military that's now supposed to be safeguarding the U.S. in this situation. German personnel, German Luftwaffe personnel, now aboard the AWACS that are supposed to be safeguarding America's shores. That, to me, sounds rather like appointing Japanese airmen to guard Oahu in the wake of Pearl Harbor. Turning now to the Financial Times of Thursday, September 27th of 2001, an article by Edward Alden in Washington headlined, Boost for Bush on Fast Track Trade Deal. And this will be reprised, by the way, in an update on German corporate control over the American media. Robert Zoellick, involved with NAFTA, the Florida recount, the reunification of Germany, and the German Marshall Fund of the United States, in effect a Bormann Organization front group, has been pushing for fast-track legislation, which would facilitate German corporate takeovers of American media. Article by Edward Alden in Washington, headlined, Boost for Bush on Fast-Track Trade Deal. It reads in part, A compromise proposal to give President George W. Bush fast-track trade negotiating authority has been hammered out by key members of the U.S. Congress as the government seeks to restore economic confidence. The agreement could hand a significant victory to the administration, which has said that launching new world trade negotiations is a vital part of a package of economic measures needed in the wake of the September 11th attacks. Although the deal still faces opposition from powerful Democrats, it has bridged a wide divide with Republicans over the contentious issue of whether labor and environmental standards must be included in future trade agreements involving the U.S. Fast Track would give the President authority to negotiate trade deals without the threat of amendments by Congress, skipping down. Many Democrats have also been angered by statements from Robert Zoellick, the U.S. Trade Representative linking Fast Track to the fight against terrorism. Charles Rangel, R-A-N-G-E-L, the top Democrat on the Ways and Means Committee, said yesterday he was offended by Mr. Zoellick, quote, using the attack and its aftermath as leverage to pressure Democrats, unquote. Well, again, in the Nazi tract Serpent's Walk, purportedly a novel by Randolph D. Calverhall, published by National Vanguard, the publishing arm of the National Alliance, the most important domestic American Nazi organization, this book, Serpent's Walk, is about an underground Reich takeover of the United States in the mid-21st century after the descendants of the SS go underground, build up a huge economic organization, translation, the Bormann Group. They infiltrate the U.S. Army, buy into and gain control of the American opinion-forming media, then following a worldwide terrorist attack involving genetically engineered microorganisms, which destroys much of the world, much of the United States, including much of both coasts, they take over the United States after martial law is declared. We've talked about this book in the past, and that attack is described as follows in the book Serpent's Walk. Again, I believe, like the Turner Diaries, also published by National Vanguard Books, this book is a blueprint, not a novel. They all babbled at once, quote, struck Washington, New York, Chicago, used the water supplies as the vector. A bacteria-generated toxin, something like botulin, as deadly as botulin anyway, but the microorganism which releases it is aerobic and thrives in places, including the human body, where Clostridium botulinum can't, and it's highly contagious. God, so many dead. And again, that describing the biological warfare attack in Serpent's Walk, which I believe is more than the novel it purports to be. Now, in connection with the Underground Reich and the Bormann Group gaining control of the American media, let's take a look at the effect of this attack on American media. The round-the-clock news coverage by American broadcasters has significantly hurt American media stocks because of the loss of advertising revenue. That discussed in the San Jose Mercury News of Sunday, September 23rd of 2001. This is called Media Feeling the Pain. It's by Mark Schwanhauser of the Mercury News. It's subtitled, Heavy Expenses of Coverage and Lower Ad Revenue Eat into Profit. And talking about the losses, it said, Already some of the industry's mightiest have issued profit warnings, including Dow Jones, the New York Times, Knight Ridder, Gannett, and E.W. Scripps. And more media stocks were battered on Wall Street. Amid a sharp plunge in the overall market, shares of AOL Time Warner, the biggest media and internet company, fell 15% on the week to a 52-week low on Friday. Number two Viacom lost 19%, and the third-ranked Walt Disney dropped 25%. So the round-the-clock coverage of the events hurting American media stocks. Also other media stocks. This from the Financial Times of Wednesday, October 3rd of 2001. Christopher Grimes and Patrick Jenkins wrote the following story, Global Media Troubles Deepen. And skipping down, meanwhile, UK media stocks fell sharply as pessimism mounted over groups' exposure to advertising. Pearson, owner of the Financial Times, and Reed both fell heavily after a warning late the previous day from McGraw-Hill in the U.S. that raised concerns over educational publishing. Well, guess who is poised to move in for acquisitions? You guessed it, Bertelsmann. Again, the founder of Bertelsmann, SS, and this appears, at least from my analysis, to be a Bormann company. We've spoken about that in past broadcasts. We don't have time to detail that. That will be in an update on German corporate control over American media. But again, in the Serpent's Walk scenario, consider the following. LA Times, Friday, September 28th, 2001. Article by Jeff Leeds, LWEDS of the Times. It's headlined, Bertelsmann Looking Around for Acquisitions. It reads in part, Bertelsmann Chairman and Chief Executive Thomas Middelhoff said Thursday that the German media company has more than $4 billion to spend and will look for potential acquisitions as rivals' shares fall. And of the Bertelsmann war chest, their sale of AOL Europe 2 years ago, seen as a bad move 2 years ago, is now looking like a work of genius. Looking now to the San Jose Mercury News of Thursday, October 11th of 2001, a column by Scott Herhold, H-E-R-H-O-L-D, headlined, It Looks Like Bertelsmann Outfoxed AOL in Europe, skipping down. Early next year, Bertelsmann will have the right to force AOL to pay $6.7 billion in stock and cash for the German publisher's 50% stake in AOL Europe, which by some accounts is 4 to 6 times more than the holding is worth. $2.5 billion of that reported to be in cash. And again, noting the Serpent's Walk scenario, there have been biological warfare incidents in the United States, although not being ascribed by authorities to the same authors as the attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon. Please note where those attacks have been directed. Reading now from the San Francisco Chronicle of Saturday, October 13th of the year 2001, this is an article by Bill Wallace and Robert Saladay and Henry K. Lee of the Chronicle. It's headlined, Mailroom Anxiety, Delivery Curbed. It reads in part, Governor Gray Davis ordered state employees to stop handling letters and packages yesterday, and media outlets across the country took extraordinary precautions out of fear that an anthrax terrorist is attacking print and TV news operations through the mail. The U.S. Postal Service joined the state and media companies in stepping up safety measures after an assistant to NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw in New York tested positive to exposure to anthrax. ABC, CBS, Time, Newsweek, and the Associated Press halted internal mail delivery at their New York offices pending a security review, while CNN closed mail rooms in New York, Washington, and Atlanta. The Wall Street Journal urged employees not to open mail that is not specifically addressed to them. It'll be interesting to see what affects these mail-delivered anthrax attacks. And by the way, Microsoft has also experienced the same thing. It'll be interesting to see what effect those BW attacks have on American media stocks, already falling because of September 11th with Bertelsmann. Again, the founder was SS, and their house historian in 1998 published a book blaming World War II on American imperialism, the United States, and Jewish control of the American media. Again, sounding rather like Osama bin Laden in certain respects. It's also interesting to contemplate the cash that the Bormann Group might have gotten from the September 11th incidents. Now, again, bear in mind, in Serpent's Walk, the Third Reich at the end of World War II goes underground. And let me review the back cover of Serpent's Walk. I've read this many times. Again, published in 1991 by National Vanguard Books. The good guys win sometimes. Not always, of course. They lost big in the Second World War. That war was a victory for communist Democrats and Jews, but everyone else lost, including millions of GIs who were told they were killing Germans and Japanese in order to make the world a decent place for their children to grow up, only to see things in America go from bad to much, much worse in the decades after the war. Even when the bad guys win, they sometimes grow careless and later become losers. Look what happened to the communists of Eastern Europe in the 1990s. Could the same thing happen to their erstwhile World War II allies in America? Serpent's Walk explores that possibility. It assumes that Hitler's warrior elite, the SS, didn't give up their struggle for a white world when they lost the Second World War. Instead, their survivors went underground and adopted some of the tactics of their enemies. They began building their economic muscle and buying into the opinion-forming media. A century after the war, they are ready to challenge the Democrats and Jews for the hearts and minds of white Americans who have begun to have their fill of government-enforced multiculturalism and, quote, equality, unquote. And again, Heinrich Mohn, the patriarch of Bertelsmann, was SS. I would note that there are very interesting indications that Bertelsmann may be a Bormann company. I've talked about that in the massive series on German corporate control over the American media. Note again that their house historian, Bertelsmann's house historian, Dirk Bovendam, in 1998 published a book blaming World War II on the U.S., Franklin Roosevelt, American imperialism, and Jewish control of the American media, and stated that Hitler had been misunderstood. And that's very much like what we see in the Serpent's Walk scenario. It's one of the reasons I believe that book is actually a blueprint for what the Underground Reich is doing and not the novel it purports to be, very much like the better-known National Vanguard book, Turner Diaries. Now, turning once again to the San Jose Mercury News of October 11th of 2001 about the Bertelsmann cash war chest for acquisitions, and this again from the AOL Europe sale 2 years ago, in an effort to set a collar around the price, Bertelsmann and AOL agreed upon a put-call deal that would be closed in the first half of 2002. The put portion of this gave Bertelsmann the right to sell its 50% stake to AOL for $6.75 billion. A put gives its owner the right to sell the stock at a certain price at a specified time in the future. At the time, Bertelsmann's chief, Thomas Mittelhoff, was criticized for leaving money on the table. And if you consider stock prices at the peak of the market, you could argue that he was taken. But Mittelhoff, like Bertelsmann, believes in the cold, hard truth of cash, the great leveler of the new century. $2.5 billion was to be paid in cash. Today, the deal looks like the work of genius. And again, not only American media stocks, but global media stocks have declined, in part as a result of the loss of advertising revenues from the September 11th incident. I would also note that there is, in fact, a biological warfare terror campaign, although allegedly not from the same elements that attacked on September 11th. That is being directed at American media. It'll be interesting to see if that not only influences coverage, but perhaps drives American media stocks down further, thereby making them riper. In For the Record Program 27, and again in number 330, we dealt with the apparent insider trading that took place in the American capital markets and perhaps also in the capital markets in Germany. Some critics have stated that it was not unusual activity. Others have stated it was. But consider the following in connection with what the Bormann Organization may have done in connection with September 11th, and I believe they were the organizer and an executive element in this event. The following is from Barron's, the weekly financial publication, their issue of October 8th of 2001. This is an article by Aaron E. Arvedlund, A-R-V-E-D-L-U-N-D. It's headlined, Follow the Money, subtitled, Terrorist Conspirators Could Have Profited from Fall of Entire More from Fall of Entire Market Than Single Stocks. And this reminds me of the Kennedy assassination scenario in Were We Controlled. After minimizing the importance of the insider trading on airline stocks that were hammered by the attack on September 11th. Aaron Arvedlund goes on to comment, So where should investigators be looking? The price action in the Standard & Poor's 500 index options, specifically September 1100 S&P puts, was curious. Those options were, quote, in the money, unquote, meaning they gave the right to sell at a price above the market, but only until they expired in September. As they approach expiration, the price of such an option theoretically could fall to the difference between the strike price and the underlying index level, or should fall to the difference between the strike price and the underlying index level. But for 2 weeks leading up to the attacks, the September 1100 index options stopped declining as theory dictates, indicating demand for those options remained inexplicably high. Those index options rocketed from around $12 a contract to over $90 after the attack. just 100 of those options. And by the way, at $12 per, that would be just $1,200 initial investment. Listen to this. Just 100 of those, or $1,200, of those options would have netted, mind you, $780,000, and thousands change hands on a typical trading day. Quote, "It wouldn't be that difficult, it wouldn't be that tough to build up a position of a few thousand of these contracts over a few days," John Nigerian, head of Mercury Trading in Chicago, says. Quote, "By then you're getting into the tens of millions of dollars pretty quickly," unquote. Or even more, given what the Borman organization could do. And again, American global media stocks declining because of the attacks. BW attacks now apparently being directed at American media, perhaps lowering their stock prices. Bertelsmann with a huge and growing cash war chest, poised to make key acquisitions. And who knows, with a whole lot greater of a capital war chest than we will have been told because of their, I believe, connections to the Borman organization, rightly or wrongly. And again, it would be interesting to know just exactly who was behind those S&P put options for September 1100. Again, millions appear to have been made there. I realize that this is a complex... Oh, and by the way, bear in mind that the safety of American coasts is going to be maintained by Luftwaffe personnel and AWACS aircraft that could seriously compromise American signals intelligence as well as physical security. Serpent's Walk, anyone? I've alluded to many other broadcasts, and I can realize that many of the things that I'm talking about would appear to be crazy or certainly unintelligible to many listeners. Other broadcasts are available from a tape and CD duplication service called Spitfire. That's one word, Spitfire. They're located at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. And you can see descriptions of, and for the last year, annotated descriptions of the various programs available from Spitfire on the Spitfire, the real audio-equipped Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, has been archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at www.wfmu.org, WilliamFredMaryUnion.org, /Dave Emery, one word, DaveEmory. And there are older programs available for download only on Real Audio on a longer URL that has links both to the other WFMU URL and to the For the Record section on the Spitfire website. I will soon have an email address set up as I have switched home-based stations. However, that will be given when I have it, and that will be in a future broadcast. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program Number 331, Connecting the Dots, Part 5, Walking the Snake. This is being recorded on October 14th of 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.